Welcome to the Iron Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Roll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Jumpin' James Herbert from Toronto, Canada. How's it going?
Long time no pod.
Yeah, it has been a long time no pod. Turns out I'm not good at managing my time when I do some radio.
That seems like a lot, though. I mean, radio and podcasting, like, how is your voice supposed to hold up?
Yeah, I mean, luckily I was only co-hosting, so I didn't have to talk the whole time. But the 2 hours really take something out of your day, because then there's a half hour getting there, there's a half hour getting back. It's really like 3 hours, which is almost half the day.
Yeah, and people really want to hear us complain about our lives.
Oh, my God. People love hearing us complain about our lives. That's the only reason they listen. They're like, yeah, the basketball stuff's nice, but I'd like to hear you complain about stuff that you shouldn't complain about.
How's the weather?
The weather is gorgeous.
Yeah?
Oh, my God. I was a little disappointed because I was planning on going to the beach on Sunday, and it was a little It was a little overcast, so I decided to go to the movies instead.
I'm sorry. Yeah. What did you see?
I saw Focus, the new Will Smith movie.
Did it live up to your Will Smithy expectations?
It was disappointing because I had heard that it was there was one review that said it was worse than After Earth. So I went in pretty excited about this movie. It's not bad at all. Like, it's not good, but it's not bad. It's not something where you're like, oh my God, I can't believe they made this. Like, it's a heist movie. It's a pretty decently executed heist movie. They threw in a couple of too many twists, but it was like, it's a fine movie. Like, it's not bad by any means. So that was,
so it's just in that not so sweet spot of like, this isn't hilariously bad. It's entertaining enough, but it's just kind of eh.
Right, yeah. Like, it's a good movie channel movie, I would say. Like, once you've seen it once, then you could probably jump in at any time, throw it on as background noise, and it would be fine.
So it's like the Nets?
No, the Nets kind of destroy your soul.
I mean, like, they destroy my soul, but I feel like for most people, like, they're like a decent...
What about the Jazz? What about the Jazz?
No, but the Jazz are fun. At least to me, maybe I'm crazy. I've thought the Jazz are fun all year, and I'm into them now. They're actually winning some games. Like,
yeah, no, I like this. I like this Jazz team.
Yeah, like, they're gonna be really good eventually.
Yeah, I think two years from now they're gonna be
better than I thought he would be. Yeah.
Yeah, 2 years from now they just need someone who can play point guard, and Burke has struggled, and Dante is just too young to really get it.
I think Exum will be that guy.
Yeah, he probably will be.
I really like him on defense. Like, I didn't know what kind of a defender he was going to be. And, like, sometimes it's funny because he doesn't really need to pressure the guys as much as he's pressuring them.
Yeah.
But he really tries hard on defense.
Yeah. I think
that's fun.
I love that I talked to him during the All-Star break. I don't think I've talked about it on this podcast, but I wrote about it where I was, like, kind of trying to tiptoe around him saying, like, oh, you kind of came out of nowhere. Well, not really out of nowhere. And he just interrupted. He's like, yeah, I came out of nowhere. It's okay to say. Like, I came out of nowhere. I'm like, oh, cool. Like,
I understand that nobody knew who the hell I was.
Yeah,
I was, like, in the discussion as a top pick.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that he was able to be, you know, that honest about himself, because some people just would not be that way at all. How's the weather where you are?
Tropical.
Sweet. So we're
tropical
both,
and Toronto are two words that start with the letter T.
Yeah, we're both sunbathing today.
Yes.
Okay.
Should we talk basketball? Maybe?
We probably should talk basketball. We don't have basketball. We don't have that long. You got to be out in like a half hour.
This is true.
So let's just jump right into. Let's start with Russell Westbrook. He had a ridiculous month of February, which I actually just found out from someone on Twitter that it's not that impressive. Even though,
okay, hold on.
Yeah.
Who is this esteemed observer?
It's someone who is really into Michael Jordan, which is fine. Michael's great.
I am too. Yeah,
Michael's great. But it was so Westbrook. I threw this into like my weekend wrap up post. Westbrook is averaged 30-10-9 for a calendar month.
Yeah.
For the month of February, calendar month, 30-10-9. Second player who has done that in NBA history. The other one's Oscar Robertson. Oscar did it 8 times. But then there's a whole, like, oh, pace, whatever. But we don't have to get into that. But this
but that seems impressive to me. Am I crazy?
You are crazy. Let me show you why it's not impressive.
Okay.
Because I was informed that, quote-unquote, Westies 31-9-10 February, only ever done by Oscar before, Fine, but MJ was 39-10 over the last 2 months of the 89 season. What?
Sure. Because there's only one good thing that can ever happen.
Well, I wasn't talking about... I wasn't even talking about it at all. Someone put the stat out there, and I just relayed it. Like, it's... We're talking about a calendar month. Okay, well, if we want to talk about, like, excellent over the course of a season, there's a lot of things we can say.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of things you can say. There's also, like, if the goal is always to equal what MJ did, then, like, nobody should try.
Well, this is the thing that... Here's my thought on the process, that if you're going to compare everything that happens in basketball to what Michael Jordan did, two things are going to happen. One, you're going to be very successful at Michael Jordan. And two, I think I'm going to have to bleep that out. And two...
You didn't swear.
No, but I should probably just bleep it out anyway. And two, you're not going to actually enjoy basketball. Like, no, there's just, like, no way you're going to enjoy that. And so...
I'm actually kind of impressed. I mean, I am still impressed by Westbrook. Like, I remain impressed by that. But I'm also impressed that anybody found a way. Oh, that's a mistake.
Yeah.
But I'm just kind of impressed anybody found a way to not enjoy that. Because, like, when I've been watching the Thunder over the past little while, I've thought... I mean, they've lost some close games, like, recently. But I just thought, like, this... How could anybody... Like, he's had so many detractors over the years and whatever. I get it if you have issues with his style of play. I don't agree, but I get it. But even if you don't love his style of play, like, how can you not enjoy the way he is playing?
I've got another thing to share. I think I've got a little bit of insight. A little bit of insight into this person's mentality. Maybe they're just really into people with the last name Jordan. Because the tweet before that was, Shades of Bill Russell, : at DeAndre Jordan 6, averaging 20.5 rebounds a game last 8 contests.
Wait, this wasn't Doc Rivers, was it?
I don't think it was Doc Rivers.
Doc Rivers trolling you on Twitter.
Damn it, I should have saved that tweet for a better transition, because I still want to talk Westbrook, but that's a great point. I think this person is just really into people with the last name Jordan.
Maybe. I actually have a book recommendation.
Ooh, I love books.
When I was in New York for All-Star, I found a graphic novel in a bookstore entitled Michael Jordan, Bull on Parade. And I have never in my life seen a graphic novel about one person's basketball career, but it exists and it is beautiful.
I got to tell you, I'm not into comic books. I'm not into graphic novels.
I don't own any comic books.
I'm into this, though.
You need to see this.
Yeah, I may have to cop that. That's a great suggestion.
It's very, very weird.
Drop that into, like, our campfire chat or something. I don't want to forget about that.
I will.
So this Westbrook, yeah, all right, 31, 10, and 9, which isn't impressive, but it kind of is. And for the month of February, you know, Durant is out. Westbrook had 3 straight games of triple-doubles, but considering they lost 2 of those 3 games, apparently that's not impressive either. According to the internet, I just don't understand why we can't enjoy things. I really don't. It's starting to get to me. It's really starting to drive me crazy that we just can't enjoy, like, cool numbers, cool basketball, whatever. But then Westbrook at the end of that game got a dent in his face.
I'd never seen that before.
I've never seen a dent like, I mean, on a basketball court. I'll just say, yeah, I've never seen a dent like that on a human as a result of a basketball game. And he's not going to miss much time, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully, you never know with him because, like, regardless, I just always believe he's going to come back in, like, a game or two.
Right.
Because that just seems to be what he does, unless it's, like, a really serious surgery. But, yeah, when they initially said, you know, he's gonna have surgery on his face, you're kind of like, what? Oh no. But then they said it might only be a week, so that wouldn't be the end of the world for them, really. Durant could be back relatively soon as well, so yeah, like, they lost some games that they obviously wish they could have back. Those 2 point losses are not fun for anybody when you're in a race for the 8th spot, but I still think, you know, based on the way, just this, like, otherworldly stretch that he's had, and the fact that I love how the new pieces are fitting in, like, I think they'll be fine still. Like, I don't see them surrendering their 8th spot or anything. I think he's, like, it was good news that it should only be a few games for him, even if we don't know the exact return date.
We're, they're a half game ahead of New Orleans at the time of us recording this.
Yeah.
They're 2 games ahead of Phoenix. New Orleans, 5 straight games. 5 straight wins, even though
I don't understand how that's happening. Luke Babbitt is doing stuff.
Yeah.
It's strange times in New Orleans.
Luke Babbitt's hair is really something to see up close and personal. It really looks like you're watching an episode of Home Improvement. Because the kid's hair was just so odd back in the 90s. And that's really what it looks like.
Anybody asked him about it? Like,
how do you explain that?
I guess, well, that's the thing. Yeah. I don't know how you broach it.
How do you broach the subject without, like, hey, by the way, I'm about to completely make fun of the way you look, but how do you, what's his hairstyle?
No, you can just ask him, like, how did you, yeah, like, where did this come from? Like, how did you make this decision?
Do I show a picture of myself of when I grew out my hair? And I'm like, hey, I had this hairstyle once as well. What made you decide to do it? Were you also copying Steve Nash?
I did it in the 90s. Yeah, I don't think that'd necessarily go over well.
No, mine was way cool. Mine was like 2001, so it was pretty cool.
Oh, sure.
I was actually trying to grow my hair.
We were all the coolest in 2001.
Yeah. Well, I was also 2001. I was 19, so I was pretty cool. pretty together at 19, as most 19-year-olds are.
I'm sure at least in your mind you knew everything there was to know about the
world. Oh my God, I knew everything about the world. turns out, not so much.
No.
Turns out I still don't know anything about the world. Hey, speaking of injuries, the Bulls are sad.
You said that so cheerfully.
I know, that shouldn't have come off as cheery as it did. I'm actually very sad about this. So Derrick Rose tears his medial meniscus, has the surgery, removes part of it, so he's 4 to 6 weeks, although just like you said, you always expect Russ to just miss one or two games. You kind of have to expect Rose to miss one or two seasons with the injuries.
I just, like, I don't know how they can win because,
right.
I'm like, are they supposed to just say indefinitely every time and then have people just digging, trying to find out whatever? Are they supposed to put a timeline and then have people asking questions in 3 weeks? Why isn't he back yet?
I mean, at least it's not indefinitely. They say, hey, 4 to 6 weeks, this is the timeline for this injury. And then once you get to that point, if he's not back, then you can, I guess it kind of holds off that questioning for a while. Right. And now,
at least for the next few weeks, it's not a thing.
Yeah. And now we're finding out Jimmy Butler's out 3 to 4 weeks with an elbow sprain. Is that what it is? Woj reported that via Twitter, and so they're just running out of guys. Taj Gibson's out for a week with a ankle injury, maybe longer. It's kind of Pau Gasol, Joakim Noah, and Nikola Mirotic.
This is such a different kind of Bulls season to what we're used to, right? Like, the one constant is that people are hurt all the time, because that has been how the Bulls have worked. But I just think the feeling about the team, just the general sense that they've sort of underachieved relative to the talent that they have, and the fact that they haven't been this, like, scrappy, really good defensive team, really. They haven't been this team that is, like, sticking together and overcoming everything. Like, that narrative is not, like, that's not this Bulls team. Gasol has been awesome offensively. He deservedly started in the All-Star game. But defensively, they're obviously totally different on the inside because of the way he plays and the fact that Noah hasn't been fully healthy at all.
Yeah, so they're 12th in defense. Wow, I didn't realize they had dropped out of the top 10.
Yeah, I think they were in the top 10 for a long time, but I think just lately,
it's
been rough, and it's just kind of depressing because, like, you want the offense to be even better than it is, and then the defense is just weird for them. And, like, Jimmy Butler, I think, even before the injury, was just kind of worn down, which, like,
shocker.
Like, yeah, like, I don't know how many people, like, there's no point even discussing it anymore because everybody knows what Thibodeau's doing with the minutes there and how stubborn he is about it. And
right.
I'm not going to say that, like, this injury is directly because of that, because I have no idea. It could be a freak thing. But obviously, the fewer minutes somebody's on the court, the less chance there is that a freak thing will even happen.
Yeah, I mean, I always think the minutes thing is a little overblown, especially, you know, in criticism of Thibodeau. But at a certain point, you know, it may be overblown, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. You know?
Yeah, and, I mean, like, it doesn't mean he's a bad coach. It just means, like, this is an issue.
Yeah, guys just keep racking up injuries. I mean, like, at least guys like, you know, Tony Snell and Mirotic, like, they've stepped up, and that's good. They're getting experience and stuff, but do you know what your team's going to look like when you enter the playoffs? That's just...
And they don't.
And it's that question for them. You know, you always have that question with just about anybody, because injuries can happen to anybody except for, you know, LeBron, apparently. But it's something where I don't know how you feel good or bad about them heading into the playoffs, just because I don't know what they'll look like.
Yeah. Like, I just think they've just been kind of a bummer, which is weird because they started off as this team that I think we were all kind of like, yeah, if they make it to the finals, like, that's not a surprise. Like, this should probably be the favorites based on their talent, their depth and everything, and the defense that they should still play. And now it's just kind of like, maybe they'll put it together, but it'd be weird to say now that they're the favorites or anything, even if you assume that Rose and Butler are back and healthy by playoff time. It's just like they haven't clicked.
Yeah, I mean, really. Weird thing, they're still winners of 7 of the last 10. They're in the 3 seed. They're half game behind the 2
seed.
Yeah,
they're not like a bad story. Like, they're just not, it's
no, they,
not
but
what
they
we're
just
used
kind,
to. They're
yeah,
just,
they just kind of exist, right? Like, yeah. It's not good or bad. It's not... it's not like, oh, you feel like they're falling apart or anything. It's just, I mean, physically they're falling apart, but like they just kind of exist. They are what they are. And then outside of that, I don't know that you feel like there's potential there just because there's so many question marks. It's not because the potential doesn't have that possibility, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, they're still constructed like a team that if they're fully healthy in the playoffs, you wouldn't want to play them. It's just... As like, if I was a Bulls fan, I wouldn't really know how to feel.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't be very confident. I wouldn't be like, oh no, you know, like this is a horrible disaster or anything, because they're still winning games. But I just think it's hard to be, like, there hasn't been a point in the season for a while that you could be legitimately, like, excited about what's happening there.
Yeah.
And that's not what I expected.
You know what I didn't expect? I didn't expect DeAndre Jordan to show shades of Bill Russell.
Doc Rivers did.
Doc
so
Rivers.
That guy on Twitter.
And that guy on Twitter. Doc Rivers saying that there's no way DeAndre Jordan shouldn't get the Defensive Player of the Year
clearly.
Award. And that if
there should be an investigation.
There should be an investigation if he doesn't end up with it. All right. I don't mind Doc sticking up for his guy. It's a little hyperbole.
That's a lot hyper.
Fine. I don't think we need an investigation because the voting is public. So
that's true.
There's your investigation. Just look at the voting numbers and we'll see.
Or just look at some of the other players who defend well.
Also,
you know, like,
yeah, there's. I don't think. If DeAndre Jordan ends up winning it, I don't think that's crazy. I'd be fine with it. Like, I don't think it's.
I think it'd be weird.
I don't think it's the best
because
choice.
They're a below average defensive team. And not that that's his fault, but I just think it would be weird considering...
Yeah, I mean, you could say that, like, look how much worse they would be if he wasn't around, and that's why he should win it. And that's kind of a decent argument. It's not great, but I can see it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I
get it, because, like, without him, then you have... I mean, if Griffin's healthy, then you have Griffin and, like, what, like... Spencer Hawes, like, trying to protect the rim, or like
Hedo Turkoglu, just... who I called a stretched four instead of a stretch four earlier on the fantasy podcast. I think that's a new term we need.
That is definitely a term that we need. Yeah, I get that he's like essential to them being even competent defensively. That's fine, and like I wrote about it, and like I didn't want to make it a, like, making fun of Doc Rivers and DeAndre thing, because I think it's worth discussing how awesome he's been lately. Like, with Blake out of the lineup, he's just exploded.
Oh, since Blake went down, he's averaging 16 points, 19 rebounds, 2 blocks, and a steal and a half.
Yeah.
That's
he's
crazy.
Had games where he's had 27 rebounds and 22 points or whatever. Like, it's stupid. Like, he doesn't attempt anything that isn't a dunk, basically. So he's shooting, like, 72% on the year.
Yeah, and he's hitting half that on free throws.
Right. But... he's clearly going to get a lot of money this summer, and he's clearly showing that he can be, like, your best big man.
It's interesting.
If he ends up changing teams.
They kind of have to max him out.
Yeah.
I mean, they really do. Like, they
can't. Otherwise somebody else will, and then what do the Clippers do?
Yeah, they can't afford to. You're right. It's not like they just get to take that money and replace him. Like, they're capped. So,
yeah,
I mean, I think I talked about this with Dan Wyke a couple weeks or months back. But they really do need to throw a lot of money at him. Like, $100 million over 5 years could happen.
Yeah.
With
especially now.
Like, yeah, especially now with the TV money and what they need and all that. Like, they just can't afford to lose him.
And this stretch. Like, because before this, I mean, he was still having a great season. But, like, the numbers that he's putting up now, I think, like, you can very easily point to that.
Right.
And his agent will do that
right.
in the summer. And yeah, I just think, you know, he's to me, the scoring and the rebounding is more impressive than the defense. The defense is good, and he's imposing down there. I just think there are other big men that I'd rather have protecting the paint than him. It's not a long list of guys, but I think there are a few guys.
Yeah.
So it'd just strike me as a bit weird if he won it. But, like, the one thing, and I wrote this too, is, like, Rivers has just, like, from the moment Jordan showed up, like, before they'd even played a game, like, he's just been huge for his confidence. And it started with, you know, him talking about, like, yeah, we're not going to bench him at the end of close games. If they want to hack him, they'll hack him, but he'll be in there. And the Bill Russell thing sounds completely ridiculous and is, but he says that kind of thing, and he says he should be an all-star, and he says he should be defensive player of the year. So DeAndre knows that he has confidence in him, and he believes in him, and, like, I think that's a big part of why he's been so much better since Doc arrived, is that he kind of has that support there that he didn't necessarily have before.
Yeah. Who would be your defensive player of the year right now?
Probably either Draymond Green or Marc Gasol.
Okay.
I'm not sure which one I'd go with. Like, if, like, the Warriors are so good as a team defensively, despite the pace that they play. So it makes me want to be like, let's take the guy that makes that work really well.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure there's a more impactful defender than Gasol, so I'm kind of conflicted there.
Yeah, I think I'd go Marc Gasol as well. Yeah. Part of me really wants to give it to Bogut, but he's missed like 14 games, 15 yeah. games, something like that. Like, it just, you're kind of on the cusp there of like, he's missed too much time. I think I would definitely give it to Bogut over Draymond Green, but I don't know, that's a lot of games.
I love
to make
the
up.
Way. I mean, they. For a while without Bogut, they were still the best defensive team in the league, and that was
a lot
because of Draymond, right. Like covering these bigger dudes.
Yeah, if he ended up with it, I wouldn't think that's ridiculous right. at all either.
Bogut's just brilliant. Like,
yeah,
Bogut's
incredible.
He's one of those guys. Like, I love it when the Mavs play the Warriors because, like, you just watch Chandler and Bogut like do nothing wrong all game.
Yeah, it would be fun. It would be funny for Bogut to get it too because I don't even think he's averaging like 25 minutes a game.
No, his minutes are low,
yeah.
And that's intentional.
Yeah. That would be funny, though. I actually kind of
want
that to happen.
And he would give
now.
A good speech.
Oh, he'd give a great speech.
Draymond would as well, though.
Yeah.
Like, actually, Draymond...
Draymond wouldn't stop.
Bogut, yeah.
They would have to just, like, do the in-game microphone and hook it up to the PA system because he'd keep going. And so it would just be this continuous, like, 3-week-long stretch of a speech, which would be great.
Yeah, just follow him around for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, no, it's great.
I'm into that. I'm totally into that.
What about Tim Duncan?
Gotta be up there.
I think he's up there.
It's incredible that he is.
He hasn't really missed many games.
No. I mean, I think they wanted to rest him more, but because of the injuries to the other guys and other guys having slow starts for them.
Yeah, and they're like
they're the
fourth best defense, fifth best defense.
Yeah, and most of that is him. I mean, obviously it's the scheme as well, but,
yeah, but
he is just
he
so...
Yeah, I think I'm leaning towards Tim Duncan now.
That's fair. Yeah. I won't argue with that.
Yeah.
I'll argue with DeAndre, but like I'd be like, all right, sure.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't argue with him.
The DeAndre thing is kind of tricky. Like, I do see the idea of like, well, if he's not around, look at what they do. But maybe you can say that about most defensive centers anyway.
Probably, just because it's hard to get a lot of them on one team.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the Spurs have other big dudes. What if you take Gasol off of Memphis, you have Kufis still, but that's not really, I mean, he's good.
Yeah, but he's not.
But he's like a good backup.
Yeah.
He's not doing all the things that Mark is doing.
But we definitely need an investigation, though. I agree on that.
We should.
We need an investigation of when Austin doesn't get Sixth Man of the Year. We're going to need an investigation on that.
Okay.
Probably need an investigation for if Steve Ballmer doesn't get, like, the MTV Movie Award Breakout Star.
He should get that.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering why, like, Big Baby wasn't in the skills competition. I'm still confused about that.
Yeah, I'm confused about that, too. We need an investigation on that. Hey, speaking of rich people, Michael Jordan's a billionaire.
Big news.
That's big news.
He's got a graphic novel.
He's got a graphic novel, and that probably led to him becoming a billionaire.
Yeah, I don't even, like, an aside, I don't think the graphic novel is, like, brand new or anything. I just didn't know it existed, and then I found it, and I flipped through it, and I was like, I must have this.
Well, what's crazy is if it's his likeness, he has to approve this. And so I want to be in the meeting where Michael Jordan had to review a graphic novel of himself. And, like, yes, I like this, no, I don't like that.
Like, yeah, like, make this dunk look cooler.
Yeah, like, I like my jeans don't look dad enough in this picture. You gotta thumb through and see if he's wearing jeans in any of those, and if they're like too baggy or a weird like wash or something, or they have weird zippers on them.
I'll give it another look. I haven't completed the whole thing yet.
Speaking of weird pants, Damari Carroll didn't play last night, but I saw him last night. When did I see him?
Saturday night? 2 nights ago.
Yeah, Saturday night. But he was in the locker room and he had pants, and I know this is going to make me sound really old, but he had pants with like cuts all the way down the leg. Just horizontal cuts. But it wasn't like you see that like a little bit with the knees, but this was like thigh to
all the way down.
Thigh to ankle, yeah.
That's new.
There's probably 20 cuts in there per leg.
I didn't know he was like a fashionista.
Oh, he's very, very much a fashionista. Or fashionistor.
Fashionisto?
Fashionisto?
Sure.
Yeah. That's probably a thing, right? It would have to be. It would be sexist not for it to be.
I think so.
Yeah. Fashionisto. All right. What was your favorite thing? You had a cool little Q&A where you got some time with Steph Curry.
That was really fun.
What was your favorite part of that?
My favorite part was when he started talking about his daughter and how he's raising her. I just, like, I took sociology in university, and I was like, I know he did too, so I'm going to ask him about that. And then he started talking about this, like, gender and society class that he took.
Yeah.
And how his prof there was talking about raising kids and gender norms and things like that. And now that he has this 2.5-year-old daughter, that is stuff that he thinks about. And she's kind of a tomboy, he said. But also, since his wife is into like tea parties and stuff like that, like she enjoys that. He said that she was still a little rugged with her tea parties, which put a weird picture in my head of how some baby can be rugged having a tea party.
Yeah.
But according to Steph, that's what little Riley Curry does. And he was just, I've never seen him talk much about that stuff before, and so that was really interesting to me. And after, I kind of wish that I just spent the entire time talking about like his kid. But we talked basketball too, and that was fun.
Yeah, you did. I thought the answer he gave about not wanting to get into coaching was interesting, and it's something that seems obvious, but I think we just assume like all these guys want to be great at the game and then teach people how to be great at the game. And for him,
if you come from like a basketball family and you're as skilled as him and you play point guard, it's like, oh, that future coach, sure.
Yeah. Yeah, you would think that, and it was kind of cool, like, just him saying, like, I hope to play until I'm, what do you say, 38?
38, yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of travel, a lot of sacrifice on my family's part, and I think that that's kind of maybe the thing we assume about Duncan now, is that he's been in the game for so long, and he's so into his family, and he doesn't like doing a lot of the media stuff, and he doesn't like doing a lot of, like, he just wants to be with his family, be with his kids. Like, it would be shocking if he went into coaching, right?
I think so, and I think sometimes it happens, but, like, later. And, like, you know, like, I mean, even Steph's coach, like Steve Kerr didn't coach the last few years, even though he had, like, an itch to do it. But I think he wanted to see his kids play. What was it? Like, his kid was playing university or college ball? Was that, am I making that up?
That sounds right.
I feel like that was a thing. And I think, like, just oftentimes, like, when you retire straight away, like, there's a reason why most guys don't go to Derek Fisher, Jason Kidd, that's just like a long time to.
Yeah,
like,
that's really just sticking in the whole system, really.
Yeah. And like, I get when Steph says, like, yeah, when he's 38, he wants to chill. Like, he has every right to. Assuming he stays healthy, he'll have a Hall of Fame career by that point, and he'll have just invested so much of his life into this one thing. If he wants to hang out and be a dad and run like basketball camps or something, or do some media stuff, which he could easily do, then cool. Maybe when he gets older, he decides like he wants to change his mind. Cause I mean, what, he's 26 now.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to stick to what he told me. Like,
right.
He could easily change his mind of him
like interviewing for a coaching job. And you just write the scathing article, 2015, Steph Curry said he was not going to get into coaching, so he must hate his family. Like, you just totally rip him apart. That would be fun.
He must hate his family now. His feelings have changed. But yeah, no, I thought that was interesting. He's just like, he's one of those guys, and I tried to get this across in the intro, but like, he's like, there's not a moment where you're talking to him where you feel like you're talking to this like superstar. Like,
yeah,
he might win MVP this year.
Yeah.
And he's exactly the same as he's always been. And he looks like a normal person. And like, you just like he answered the, like, his wife called him in the middle of the interview and he like picked up and was like really politely like dealing with both situations and telling her like, I'm in the middle of an interview, I'll call you right back, and then went right back to me. He could have easily blown it off, but like,
yeah.
He's just so, like, I mean, down to earth superstar is like sort of a cliche, but I don't know how else to describe it. He's just like, he's not, he doesn't have that air about him.
Yeah. There was something earlier in the season where Klay Thompson was like, look at the shots he takes. Like, you have to be arrogant. Or you have to have ego to
he
take
said,
those
no,
shots.
No humble man takes
the right. Shots, no humble. Yeah, right. And it was
an Ethan Sherwood stress piece.
Yeah, there is a weird like kind of balance there of like he's as down to earth as a superstar can get.
Yeah,
at least.
But
in
on the
NBA.
Court, he's like, he acts like he's a killer.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's really interesting because I think it can work both ways. Like sometimes when you watch a guy, you're like, oh, this makes sense. This is his personality. And like with him, it's just so not that.
Yeah, no, definitely. Real quick before I let you go, how much longer do you think he has to play till he's a Hall of Famer? Cause that's kind of weird. Like he's historic already and he's great, but there does have to be a certain, like, I think with Grant Hill, he played what, like 7 seasons before his body started to give up on him and he wasn't a star anymore. And so some people are like, oh, well, his Olympic stuff and his college stuff, that's what gets him in. And it's like, I don't know, 7 years of being like an era-changing player.
And Steph was also one of the most exciting college players ever.
Yeah, yeah, and he's got gold medals now, right? So it's like,
2, yeah.
Yeah, so now you got to think, like, I wonder, does, like, 3 more years, does that clinch him up, if he keeps up this production, would that clinch him a Hall of Fame spot? It's kind of, like, if he gets MVP this year, like, that's kind of weird, right? To think, like, he doesn't need to be great that much longer.
He gets MVP this year, I think it's a lock now. Like, I don't like even thinking about him getting more serious injuries, but... Like,
I'm just talking about he just walks away. He's just like, 29 like, years I'm old done. Is, I'm done. I'm done with you guys.
I'm done with basketball.
Yeah.
By
then, I'm sure he'll have set the 3-point record anyway. 3 years
perhaps.
From now. I think he's only...
I mean, that's the thing. Like,
he's only like 2,000 behind.
Yeah, like if you were making the argument, you would say, well, nobody has shot threes at this volume this well, like,
right,
before he showed up and started doing it. And like Korver's having the best shooting season ever, but I think Steph, for a few years now, has been... It's just, there's never been a player like him in terms of what he makes the defense like prepare for. And just, I think Matt did a MVP 5-star review last week.
Yes.
And he just like broke down like, oh, here's what happens if you don't guard Steph from 30 feet out. And then here's what happens when you do and how he slithers his way into the basket and finishes so well. And it's just like that there are other point guards like Lillard and like Kyrie and like guys like that who can like shoot from like real deep, but nobody is quite like him in terms of his efficiency from out there and the combination of that sort of shooting off the catch or off the dribble and then his ball handling and passing and everything. Like, he's such a complete player.
Yeah. I really like those Sports View movement charts that are on NBA.com/stats. Like, watching his 3-point attempts are just fascinating with like the coverage of the floor from both an offensive and a defensive standpoint. Like, you can get lost if you're a basketball nerd, you can get lost for like a good hour just watching that stuff. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, because he like sort of distorts the game, right? Like,
he really distorts the game, like in a way that we haven't seen before. It's weird. Yeah. It's bizarre.
I just like, even like the beginning of that Warriors Celtics game, like when nothing was going right for the Warriors at all, and like the Celtics were like, Isaiah Thomas was going nuts as soon as he came in off the bench. Like, even then, like you just sort of felt like, okay, well, Steph is still pulling up and hitting threes. Like, that's where they're getting their offense from. So all they need is a bit more of that, and they could get right back into it.
And they'll be just
happened.
Fine. Yeah,
of course.
Right, of course. All right, James, I know you got to run. We can follow you on Twitter at OutsideTheNBA. I'm going to stick around and give my picks for the night, and I'll just assume you go against every single pick that I'm giving.
Correct. I'll pick every underdog, whatever you like.
Okay, we'll figure something out. Shout out to Isaiah Thomas for James Herbert, and I will talk to you later this week.
Thank you, Zach.
All right, before we go, it is such a short podcast today, but wanted to throw the nightly expert picks out there, expert in quotes, of course. just because it gives you guys something to laugh at me about when I'm horribly wrong. Only 5 games on the schedule tonight. First game up, Toronto Raptors at Philadelphia 76ers. The Sixers are given 9 points. Toronto has to win by 10 points or more in order to cover the spread. I like the Sixers. I like the way the Sixers are playing lately. I don't like the way the Raptors are playing, so I'll go with them, and that leaves James Herbert with the Toronto Raptors, of course. The game I will be attending, Phoenix Suns at Miami Heat. The Suns are given 1.5 points. Heat are 1.5 point favorites. Brandon Knight might not play. Goran Dragic might not play, and I guess that means maybe Dwayne Wade won't play, but you never know with that, assuming since they're favored that he will. I'm going to take the Suns. I actually like the Suns to win this game outright. We've got the Golden State Warriors on a back-to-back at Brooklyn to face the Nets. Warriors are 6-point favorites. I'll take those six. I'll lay those 6 points, and I will pick the Warriors. Clippers at Minnesota. The Minnesota Timberwolves are surprisingly competent since all their injured players came back, which is shocking. They're playing the Clippers, that defensive player of the year, DeAndre Jordan, and Doc Rivers. Clippers are giving 5 points. They're 5-point favorites. I will take the Clippers to win that game and win it by more than 5 points. And then the last game, maybe the game of the night, either that or Phoenix at Miami. The New Orleans Pelicans, winners of 5 straight, only a half game behind the Oklahoma City Thunder, are given 7.5 points against the Dallas Mavericks in Dallas. The Mavericks, 7.5 point favorites. I think I'll take Dallas despite the bigger line. They got to get it together at some point, although Tyson Chandler and Chandler Parsons, all the Chandlers for Dallas, are questionable to play. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Thanks for enduring the hiatus that we had while I was doing radio. And get buckets, everybody.